Haskell, Brother and Sister, St. Helena, California, November 11th, 1908. Elder Haskell, Dear Brother and Sister Haskell, we had a long and wearisome journey to Sebastopol last Friday. Much of the way was over a steep and very narrow mountain road, but no harm came to us. We passed through Santa Rosa, then on to Sebastopol. We had to inquire our way several times to Brother Christensen's, where we desired to spend the night. At last, however, we found the place, were heartily welcomed, and greatly appreciated the rest in this pleasant home. Sabbath morning we rode 7 miles to the meeting house. The church was not large enough to accommodate all who desired to hear. To those assembled, I spoke from the first chapter of 2 Peter. I then returned to Brother Christensen's, while Willie remained to visit among the people. He spoke to the young people in the afternoon. Sunday forenoon, Willie spoke again, and I spoke in the afternoon. But I am too weary to write full particulars. I did not make an appeal for means, and thought it not wise to mention the Buena Vista property, as there were present both believers and unbelievers. However, I spoke decidedly of the great and earnest work to be done, for the world is fast ripening for the closing up of its history. Those who are truly serving the Lord Jesus will be a holy, sanctified people, communicating the light of truth to all around them. In their lives, they will exemplify the value of truth practiced. Sunday afternoon, I related to the congregation some of our experiences in Kurenbong, where in beginning the work we walked out in the providence of God. I spoke of the difficulties we encountered and of our struggle to obtain means. You remember how Elder Daniels was so burdened that he prayed all night in the open air for the Lord to send us the necessary means that we might carry out His will in that new, unworked field. You remember how we all worked and prayed and believed, knowing that without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Lord gave messages to our brethren in Australia that then was their opportunity to use their entrusted capabilities in the Lord's service. When they should act their part, walking and working in faith, practicing self-denial, then they would find that the Lord would work for them. Let not the words found wanting be written against God's people. Daniel 5, verse 27. While we should thankfully receive loans of money with interest, yet the Lord calls for larger free will offerings. We must be careful about the matter of borrowing large sums of money, for often this will result in our being placed in a strait place afterward. There may be no trouble so long as those are living who have loaned the money, but when they become sick or die, a sudden call is sometimes made for their money. This money may have been invested in opening the work in new fields, and in order to meet this demand, we may be forced to borrow from the banks at a high rate of interest. Let us obtain all the means possible as straight gifts. If today more gifts were brought into the Lord's treasury, the sacrifice would yield a rich harvest. In Kurenbong, we were thankful to obtain means and to pay a low rate of interest for their use. But we would say to all, make your gifts as large as possible, for borrowing large sums of money may lead to future embarrassment to the one who is using the money. Let this point be guarded in the matter of moving the school from Healdsburg to be established in another place. For many years, Healdsburg has been an educating center. But the time has now come when the school should be moved to a location where we shall have better advantages. Let all who can possibly do so place their money in this enterprise as a gift. When we think of what Christ has done for us, this will not be regarded as a great sacrifice. He has given His commission to His disciples as workers who are to lay the foundations of His church in various fields. To establish educational centers is a part of their work. The commission of Christ to His disciples is the great missionary charter of His kingdom. His disciples were thus made his ambassadors, bearing the divine credentials. If they should be asked by what authority they, unlearned fishermen, went forth as teachers of the people and healers of the sick, they could make reply, "He who was crucified, but who rose again, has appointed us to preach his gospel, to be ministers of his word. He has declared, 'All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.'" Matthew 28, verse 18. The disciples were not to wait for the people to come to them. They were to hunt diligently for those who were willing to be saved in the Lord's appointed way. They were to search for souls as a shepherd searches for his sheep that are lost. Christ opened before them the whole world as their field of labor. They were to go to every place and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 15. No one was to be passed by. Unselfish labor was to be bestowed upon all. Free will offerings were to flow from his people to open new fields, to establish the truth in every place where an entrance might be found. His name was to be their authority, their confidence. In and through that name, their works were to bear the divine credentials. And what was the promise that was to be immortalized among his disciples? "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Acts 1, verse 8. "But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Luke 24, verse 49. Positive results followed obedience to these commands. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Mark 16, verse 20. "As was the work of the disciples, so is our work, first to seek the Lord, then to go forth everywhere presenting the gospel message. All have need of the converting power of God. Our ministers need to have a deeper heart experience. Self-esteem, self-righteousness, is a positive hindrance in the work of God. A crucified and risen Savior is to be exemplified by the daily conversion of those who minister in the things of God. Imbued with His Spirit, there will be no self-exaltation, no tame and lifeless work done. The Lord Jesus Christ is to rule in every heart if the voice is to proclaim His message. A decided utterance will make its impression. From every country voices are coming, 'Come over and help us.' Rich and poor are to be stirred. High ones and lowly ones are to be sanctified and saved by the message of truth. The world needs to see the evidence of Christ's working on the hearts of ministers. When the workers humble their hearts before God, they will come into perfect union. Not a word of contention will be heard among them. It will be seen that there is a place for all in the Lord's work. God's blessing will be bestowed upon all who earnestly serve Him. His blessing is full and free for everyone who will work under the discipline of the great teacher. Christ has made full and ample provision for the carrying forward of His work today. In a special manner, He has appointed and entrusted His disciples to work in connection with Christ, in seeking to save those who are lost. Those who obey His word and work with humility need not fail nor be discouraged. Christ bids us to go into all parts of the world, but only as we know that His presence is with us, we are to labor in meekness and humility. The lapse of time has brought no change either in the commission of Christ or to His parting promise, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. Those who will not swell to large proportions, but will put their trust and confidence in Christ, may claim the promise, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let us remember that Christ has promised to be with us as we meet the people. Let us not permit self to become exalted, nor suppose ourselves capable of meeting every emergency. God's true ministers, those chosen by Him, are, as workers together with Christ, to be wise and earnest in their efforts to save souls. Apostasy to be met. Let our workers study the Epistle of Jude, for he speaks of conditions that will be met in our day. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained unto this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. We shall be called to meet those who, notwithstanding definite reproof and warning through the testimonies, have gone on in an evil course. We are bidden of God to hold ourselves separate and distinct from these men who have not given heed to his warnings. Some of them will seek to enter our churches, but we are to give no place to them. If they are converted, they will bear a different testimony. But I have a positive warning in reference to men who have departed from the faith. Let not our churches be opened for them, for they will deceive, if possible, the very elect. Matthew 24, verse 24. Consider how Christ met the temptations of the enemy. It is written, he said. Matthew 4, verse 4, 7, 10. It is not wise to endeavor to answer the erroneous theories presented by those who have departed from the faith. We are to keep to the affirmative and engage in no controversy with these men. Harsh words will accomplish no good. It is not our duty to engage in controversy with men such as were Stevenson and Hall, and others who might be named. In harmony with this instruction, I must warn our people against laboring in any line in connection with Jones. He is one who has departed from the faith and has given heed to seducing spirits. He knows not what manner of spirit he is of. Many times in our history, it has happened that men who had been effectual speakers wove into their belief some sentiments which, if received, would result in the destruction of those who received them. It has been natural for these men to be coarse, denunciatory, and rough. Yet they continue to teach some of the theories of truth. However, we are to give them no opportunity to speak in our churches, for Satan has been working with them. Our safest course is to let them alone.